With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This is On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at what is happening in Western New York with news, features, and special guests. Now, here's your host, Penny Wolfgang.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining me today on Target. I'm your host, Penny Wolfgang, and I hope you listen to us every week because On Target is what we call our public service to the community here in Western New York, and we try to educate you about different subjects. We try to talk about health and the economy and events and groups and organizations that are making a difference here in Western New York. And, of course, whenever I have a chance, I try to bring something in about the courts or about law and order or about legal matters. Why do you think I do that? Well, and entertainment, because those are my two favorite subjects, and because I think I know a little bit about it, so at least sometimes I know what to ask my guests. And today is an example of that, because in the studio with us today is a very, very good friend of mine, Erica L. Webb. And Erica is has the title of Chief Clerk of the City Court of Buffalo. And not only do I have the pleasure of working with Erica now for a couple of years, but she is a well-known person in the community because of the jurisdiction that the City Court has over so many matters in our lives, and because Erica knows everything. She has her finger on everything, so there's nothing that happens in Western New York in the City Court anyway of Buffalo that she does not know, and no person she does not know, and no information she doesn't have. And every time anybody asks anything of, like, even the judges, the hearing officers, the other clerks, the secretaries, the answer to it is always, ask Erica. Did you know that?
Yes, Judge.
Yes,
I am
the
go-to person.
Yes, she is the go-to person. So I think we would like to start out, Erica, by telling our listeners, what does it mean to be the Chief Clerk of the City Court of Buffalo?
Well, first, Judge, I would like to say thank you for having me here
today.
Oh,
you're so welcome.
It's my honor to be here. My role as Chief Clerk is it's very interesting, to say the least. I manage the second largest city court outside of New York City. We have 14 sitting judges that work on the bench in our court daily, and I oversee a staff of 100 plus and also auxiliary staff from partnering agencies. So my role is to manage the day-to-day operations of the court in terms of paperwork, filings, dealing with the public as they come in and out of the building and they have issues or they may need direction. I also manage our staff. I'm responsible for hiring and providing guidance and oversight to our staff that's there as well. As well as I serve as the building liaison when we have issues in our building in terms of public safety. I work closely with security for those type matters as well. In Buffalo City Court, we handle approximately 60,000 to 70,000 cases per year. And we can kind of split that down the middle between both civil and criminal. So it's a very busy place on a day-to-day basis. We're also 365-day-a-year court in operation. We do sunrise court on the weekends for new arrests in the city of Buffalo as well as every holiday. So we're a very busy place.
I wasn't kidding when I said ask Erica is the answer to everything. You just went and explained it. Can I ask you, too, also about your background? Because when you say chief clerk, people's minds, I don't know, when they say clerk, they don't put two and two together with all that you just said, right? Am I right?
Absolutely. As the clerk of the court, we are responsible for the recordation of all of our files. We don't maintain statistics, but we do maintain the records. And some of our records date back to the 50s. We have individuals that come into our court on a daily basis because for some reason they may have had an encounter with the law 20 years ago, and now they've gone in a more positive direction, and they're looking to get some type of formal document to show that their case is now, you know, it's disposed and that they're now on the right track. So we research files for old and new on a regular basis. As the clerk, it's our responsibility to make sure that those records are intact. And as the chief clerk, especially, to make sure all of our criminal filings, our civil filings, our small claims, all of those cases are received and updated properly.
I didn't realize that some it goes back that far, and I also didn't realize, and I think you'll probably explain this better, things have changed so much as far as keeping the records go, and just while you've been there, right?
Absolutely. When I began in Buffalo City Court, I've been working in the court system for 23 years. I began as an office assistant, actually in the small claims office. Lee Gagnon was the chief clerk at the time. And I rose through the ranks with Lee and then the late Sharon Thomas, who was one of my mentors and dear friends, miss her dearly. And I began in the small claims office. And what we would do is when there was a new claim that came in, we had these huge ledger books. They were probably about 3 feet, and they were huge and they were very heavy. And so because we didn't have computers to keep all of the data, we had to handwrite the new claims and the docket numbers in those books. And that's how we kept the record. But now we have databases that would, you know, keep the record. It imports and it, you know, gives us reports as we need. So times have changed.
And did you have to, you and all the clerks, take a lot of time to learn, like, how to change over to all of the, you know, computerized? I know that's a yes.
Absolutely, Judge. As the times have changed, it brings a little bit of angst because you're nervous about what the change is going to be. And some people are not prone to change. But, you know, you go to seminars, you do trainings, you do hands-on, and all of those things help you. And I think working in the systems on a regular basis and becoming familiar, it kind of helps in the transition.
Now, you mentioned that we have both civil and criminal courts in the same, in the city court building, and you have jurisdiction over both. Mm-hmm. What is an example of cases that would be in civil? Besides, we're going to talk about small claims court, but definitely small claims court.
Civil cases would be any type of a lawsuit that will be over $15,000 outside of the threshold of small claims. We also have landlord and tenant evictions, petitions. Those would be considered civil. Those go before our hearing officer, which is under the jurisdiction of our housing court judge, Judge Carney. We also have quasi-criminal housing files, which in New York City, I believe those are civil matters, but in Buffalo City Court, we do our housing cases as a quasi-criminal matter.
And I think there is something to do with traffic matters.
Traffic matters for Buffalo City Court, when those come in and they're attached to a penal penal law, those go under our criminal cases. So those would be considered criminal. In terms of cases that are infraction only, those cases are handled by the Buffalo Traffic Agency through City Hall, but they use our courthouse to handle such matters.
So people might end up there in city court if they have
a speeding ticket,
or something like,
running a red light or a stop sign, any traffic charge that does not include a misdemeanor level offense.
And we've talked on Target many times, and we'll probably do it again in the near future about the boutique courts that are taking place, which are so important and
Absolutely.
Innovative in city court?
Absolutely. We have 14 regular parts of court, but we also have, within the 14, we have 7 specialty parts of court. And in those specialty parts, those parts, like you're speaking in terms of domestic violence.
Yeah, right.
Yes, we have 7
right.
specialty parts of court. Those focus directly in on the matter that brought the person in contact with the law. So we have domestic violence. We have the adolescent diversion program. We have human trafficking court. We have DWI court. We have drug court, which encompasses our mental health court as well as our veterans court. We have housing court. And then we also have, I'm forgetting something.
I don't think so, because you said more than 7. But
so
yes.
Those courts focus directly in on the nature of the case that's before the judge.
If we forgot anything, we'll tell Judge Amadeo
Absolutely.
To listen to this program and find out what if anything, we left out. I wanted to say, again, if you just tuned in, you're listening to On Target with your host, Penny Wolfgang. And today in the studio with us is the Chief Clerk of the City Court of Buffalo, Erica Webb, who has jurisdiction over, we just said, so many parts of our life that we can't even begin to tell you, especially if you live in the city or have anything to do or dealings with the city. I wanted to spend a little time talking about small claims, because you mentioned that you started in small claims as a clerk, and maybe statistically that is, guessing, one of the places that the public has the most to do with.
Absolutely. Small claims is a part of our civil division. It's an easy and inexpensive way that individuals can settle small disputes. In our court, our small claims part is very busy. Last year we handled approximately 1,700 cases for small claims, and I believe approximately 700 cases for our commercial division. So it's a very busy part of court, just as much as our criminal parts.
Okay, so I know it's busy, but I know people have heard of it, and I know they always think of Judge Judy, there's another man.
Judge Mathis.
Good, you knew that, right? I was like, "Who the heck is Judge Mathis?" Somebody said to me in small claims court last year. Judge Mathis is going to take this case, so we want to withdraw the case. And you know me, I said, "Is that a judge in this building?" You know, I don't even know who's Judge Mathis, but yes. And
it's
there's more. There's a couple
TV
of
judge.
Others too. Yes, the TV judges. But I think people. Many people, their first idea of going to court is these, you know, matters that they see on television in small claims court. So what is the jurisdiction in real life of small claims court?
In real life, in our city court, we take claims for any disputes that happen anywhere here in Erie County. If something happened amongst someone in the town of Tonawanda, they can choose to sue it in the town, but they can use any one of the 3 city courts in Erie County. So we have jurisdiction over those particular cases. Small claims cases can be sued up to $5,000. Anything over that would have to be converted into a civil action. And the threshold there is $15,000. But $5,000 for small claims. And for a town matter, I believe it's $3,000 in the towns.
Okay. And so what does a person have to do? It says before you start your case, what's the first thing a person should do if they feel like they have a matter which they would like to bring or should be in small claims court anywhere?
Well, they should definitely know where the person live, work, or reside, because that's how the case is initiated. They would come and file their claim, but they would have to have some of that information when they come. One of the other things that they need to do is, first of all, you have to be 18 or older. You do not need a lawyer. You can handle the matter on your own. And you start by filling out the application in the court.
So they have to, when you say filling out the application, does that mean they have to originally come somewhere in person?
Absolutely. They would come to the small claims office located in Buffalo City Court on the first floor, and we have clerks there that are readily ready to assist, and they fill out their application. You need to have the person's name.
That you're suing.
That you need to have the person's name that you're suing or the business name. And you definitely want to have the address. The address has to be within Erie County.
We have to mention, go back to something you just said, or the business. You can sue, and kind of explain that. You can sue a person, or you could even sue a business.
Absolutely. You can sue a person or business. If you're not sure what the business name is, many times we send individuals to the county clerk's office so that they can find out if the person has a DBA or if they're incorporated, and they can go from there. Many times individuals come in and they don't have the address so that the mailing can't be effectuated. And when that happens, we'll send individuals over to either the county clerk's office once again to find out if they have property in the county where the mailing can be sent, or if they have property in a city. So we use the city tax assessor's office as well.
Now, let's say that a person wants to bring a case against somebody. Is there a time limit, or is there a time frame when they have to bring it?
The cases for a city court, for I believe for a commercial claim, is 90 days from the initial incident. They have to file a notice of claim if they're suing like a public agency or whatnot. But for regular city court cases, I believe it's 5 years.
So it can't be like something that happened to you. You're a teenager and you want to sue something when you're a grown up, you know.
Absolutely.
That kind of thing.
You would be over
people
the
would
jurisdictional.
Have to, people would have to realize that.
Right.
When I listen to people's, you know, cases, what I've been doing for the last couple of years, one of the first things that they have to be aware of is what can happen. What can you get? You know, what can the result be if you are bringing a lawsuit? You are called the plaintiff. What can the plaintiff get when they go to city court?
Small claims is a money judgment court. You cannot sue to have items returned, so or to make someone do something. Usually you would sue for the money value of what your loss was, and should the plaintiff win, they would receive a money judgment from the court. That money judgment is good for a period of 20 years, and there's different ways that the plaintiff can go about collecting. The court does not act as a collection agency, so therefore the plaintiff would act as their own collector and try to enforce their own judgment.
Now, let's say, first of all, we didn't mention, but if a person does come in to fill out the form, do they have to pay any money to start with?
Yes. The filing fee for a small claims is $15, and then you pay for the cost of postage. And if it's a commercial claim, the fee is a little bit higher.
But there is a fee.
There is a fee.
People should realize that.
There is a fee.
And to go back to the something you said before, which we, I think, have to emphasize, people do this on their own. The point of small claims court, and one of the I guess, attributes is that you do not have to hire a lawyer to represent you.
Absolutely. You do not need to hire a lawyer. Some individuals feel more comfortable if they have representation. But small claims, as we know, we have a court TV show called The People's Court, and that's what it's considered.
Oh, that's the one I was thinking of. Who is the People's Court judge?
Wapner?
Yeah. Well, it used to be, but I think, sadly, I think he might have passed away, but there's definitely somebody now. All my listeners are yelling out, all the listeners saying, don't you know this? It's Judge so-and-so in the People's
right.
Court. But yes.
Yeah, yes. So it's kind of like a People's Court where you come in and the hearing officer would hear both sides of the claim, and then the hearing officer would make a decision as to which party they feel, you know, prevails. If the individual is not happy with the decision, they have the right to file for a trial de novo, which then the case goes before one of our city court judges, and then it's reheard in front of the city court judge once again.
Now, when you come in to file this claim and you pay this money, how does the other person that you're suing find out about it?
The court will then send a notice to the party that you're suing by certified and regular mail. If they're not reachable by mail and that mail is returned to the court, we would notify the plaintiff that we were not able to serve the party. And at that time, that's when we have them go to see if they can find from either the tax assessor or the county clerk a good address, or, you know, they can do their own research to try to find a good way to have that mailing sent out.
So the bottom line is they can, if you wanted to get money from, for an example, let's say a security deposit back from your landlord, or if you're the landlord, you want to get rent, or if you're, your cleaner ruined your clothes or whatever, you
yes.
are not the person that has to go and tell them they're being sued, or bring it to them, or send it to them, or anything.
No.
The court will do it for you.
The court will provide the service for you through the mail.
I mean, I think that's something people might worry about, right?
Absolutely, because we don't want to create a further issue amongst the parties if they're trying to serve them personally their initial summons.
It might be difficult. Now, what do you tell people, or what should they know, if they do have a case that they should bring with them, or how should they get ready to go and appear in court?
Well, we tell individuals that they should bring witnesses if they have any witnesses, and if they have any receipts, anything that you feel will help you win your case. If you do have a witness and that witness can't come, you know, we recommend that you bring them. Sometimes they may bring a sworn affidavit, but it's up to the hearing officer if they want to accept that as sufficient proof of the claim.
So, I mean, when we're saying how do they get ready for trial, look for all your papers.
Absolutely.
Everything you have. Look for any proof you have.
You may want to bring pictures. You may want to bring all your papers. If you can actually physically bring the item of question in, that's allowable as well.
What about when you do go for a trial? First of all, what if you can't make it that day, which happens a lot of times, or the date? You send the person a notice of their day, correct?
Yes.
And then if it's not convenient, or they're away, or they're on vacation, what can they do anything?
Yes. Adjournments are allowed. If one of the parties determine that they cannot appear, what they can do, they contact the court, and we'll have them send a letter into the court asking for the adjournment, and the other party has to be put on notice as well. And then they can agree to a new court date, and then we, you know, take the case from there. Sometimes individuals may send someone in on the actual day of the hearing to ask for the court in their stead in front of the hearing officer. And at that time, it's up to the hearing officer if they want to allow the adjournment.
And assuming that there is not an adjournment and the case is being scheduled, what do you tell them to do about showing up, like show up on time, for example?
Absolutely.
I was thinking about that.
Yes. Our cases for Buffalo City Court are scheduled at 9:15 and 2 p.m. Our building opens at 8:30, so there's no reason why you can't get there early. We encourage everyone to get there early. Obviously, if you're driving, you need to get parked. You have to go through the metal detector, so that can be timely depending on the calendar of the day for the court. And then there's the elevators. You need to be able to get up to the 7th floor where Spawn Claims.
And there's
court.
A lot of people in that building.
Yes. And the 7th floor now, oddly enough, is one of our busier floors now. Once we opened our new Suite 700 with Judge Carney, his suite is there
with
for housing court. And then we have landlord and tenant petitions, which encompasses some of our BMHA filings, and then we have our small claims court. So that's one of our busier floors. So we encourage individuals to definitely get there early and on time, you know, and make sure you're not late.
You know what would be an interesting program? Also, housing court.
We should absolutely.
Get, we should. You can do this.
That would be great.
Judge Carney to come in. Because people are always. He would. And he's so experienced.
Yes.
And
very experienced.
And such so hardworking. And that is such a difficult situation in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. That remind me. Okay, to do that.
What
happens if the other person doesn't come? If the person you're suing, for example, doesn't come.
If the person you're suing does not come, the plaintiff can win by default. The party is usually allowed 1 hour to appear before a decision is made. But, they can lose by default. In that, they do have the right to write a letter to ask to have the case reopened. They need to explain why they weren't there. And it's up to the judicial hearing officer to make a determination whether they want to have the case reopened.
And, of course, people probably ask you this all the time, but is there a jury? Can you have a jury trial in small claims court? And I know they ask that, right?
They do.
Can you have a jury trial?
Small claims cases usually do not have a jury trial. Rare occasion you may have someone that request one. And what they would have to do is file a notice, for the jury trial, and they would have to pay the fee. We really have not encountered that, but no. Small claims is not a court of record, so we don't have a stenographer or a FTR recorder that takes down the testimony. We do get many requests for transcripts from small claims that filter through my office, but we explain to them that it is not a court of record, and the decision of the judicial hearing officer is what stands, and if they are not satisfied with that decision, they have the right to file for the trial de novo.
And going back to when they come into the clerk's office to file their claim, the plaintiff, what do they do? Who do they tell, or do they tell somebody or explain what the case is about, or does somebody ask them?
When they come in to file, we have our small claims office, they'll speak with one of our clerks at the counter. They'll help them fill out the application. They give a brief summary. The application is very brief. It's a one-page application, and it basically consists of both parties' names and just a few short lines about what happened, how much you're suing for, and then we'll give them a court date. Our court date turnarounds are usually between 4 to 6 weeks. Sometimes individuals, the defendant may come in because they want to file a counterclaim because now they feel that the plaintiff owes them some money. So that would be also taken up on that court date. Counterclaims can also be filed on the day of court. They cannot exceed the $5,000 threshold for small claims, but it's up to the judicial hearing officer if they want to allow it.
I think, thanks to you, that we have answered every question and explained anything 101, anybody, a guide to small claims court 101. But if people needed more information or wanted to contact you, do we have that? There must be a website for court? Or
there is a website. You can go to your local court website, www.oca.gov, and you can look under Buffalo City Court. You can look under Tonawanda City Court. Any of the town courts that you're interested in. Our guide that has been newly revised, it was revised in August of 2018. It's called A Guide to Small Claims and Commercial Claims in the New York State City, Town, and Village Courts. It's available for download on the website. We also have these guides available in our courthouses, so anyone can come in and we'll provide them with a guide. When individuals come also, and if they're not familiar or they may be illiterate and they are not able to read and write, we do have what's called the Court Help Center, and we can send them there and they can help them actually fill their paperwork out. We also follow ADA requirements when individuals come to court. If they need an interpreter, the court will provide an interpreter for them, an assisted living, assisted listening device if necessary, and things of that nature.
But the best advice I can give my listeners is if you have any questions or any problems or anything, ask for Erica.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you so much for sharing all this information with us. Thanks for coming to On Target. And, well, I'll see you soon. And as to my listeners, I hope you will be with me again next week, same time, same station. Thanks for listening, and goodbye, everybody.
You've been listening to On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at Western New York and our community. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write to Penny Wolfgang at 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Amherst, New York, 14226.
Engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.